Well, aren't you a regular Nancy Drew?
I learned that from the Nancy Drew detective.
Okay, go.
You think you can follow the clues and solve the case of the missing condiment, Nancy Drew?
He knows, I've read every Nancy Drew mystery ever written.
Nancy, please tell me you're joking.
Wow, you suck at this Nancy Drew stuff. You should get a new hobby.
My name is Carson Drew, and this is my assistant, Nancy.
Nancy Drew.
It's curtains for you, Miss Drew.
Nancy Drew strikes again.
A regular Nancy Drew.
Gotta pull it together. I gotta pull it together before I jump out of my chair.
Yes!
I'm so excited. Hello, regular Drews.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, wow. Here
we
are.
This is a long time coming.
Such a long time coming. We are back with more Nancy Drew files. Hallelujah. Hooray. Thank heavens.
I've been so ready to get back to these for a long time now because I love the ones that we did. What, like, 2 years ago now? It's been too long since we've read a file.
Too long. Truly too long. They're so good, Corey.
Yes.
I don't know that there is a fail that we've read in the Nancy Drew files. I mean, of course, there are some that are better than others, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But, like, overall,
they're all solid.
I can't complain about a single Nancy Drew file that I've read. So funny. So exciting. So interesting. So much to talk about. Like, and this one that we're covering now is no exception. It is Secret Skin Kill.
It's a great one to start with, yes.
Of course, it's number one. Mm-hmm. Number one. I'm so excited to talk about it.
And oh, boy, was this a way to kick off a new series. This was excellent.
Seriously. Seriously. Such a good idea. First of all, we just have to talk about that. Whose idea was this? I just want to give them all the praise because, yes. I mean, obviously I know it's Simon and Schuster. Ultimately, it's their idea. But like whoever in Simon and Schuster was like, you know what? We need to refresh Nancy Drew and turn her into a 1980s icon. I just want to like...
That hair on the cover. Oh my
God. Let's talk about the cover. The cover. Okay. The jeans. Like, look at Daryl Gray's jeans. The car on fire in the background. The hair blowing in the wind and the smoke. The pink sweater over the shoulders of Daryl Gray.
This, like, plastic jacket that Nancy's wearing. Look at the texture on that thing.
That's got to be a windbreaker.
No, it has to be. Yeah.
Has to be.
But I mean, love it. Oh, my gosh.
His blueberry eyes.
That has to be one of the three words, is blueberries.
Blueberry eyes. Blueberry eyes, I'm putting it on the list. Blueberry eyes.
Oh, you've already got a list going. I love it.
I couldn't help myself. We can
oh, my
that.
Gosh. Oh, no, that's a good list, though.
We'll get there. We're not there yet. It's just amazing. I mean, oh God, I'm so excited. I literally need to take a freaking Xanax to talk about this book. I'm so excited.
I love the color scheme in it too. It's almost like our colors, the pink, purple, blue there.
The purple, pink, blue. It's very cute. It's such a cute cover. If you guys haven't seen the cover to this Nancy Drew file, go look at it. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, actually, I've probably already posted it on our Instagram, so just kidding. You could just go look at our Instagram where I'm definitely going to post a picture of this one. It's so cute. I love the whole concept of the Nancy Drew cover design in general, and I love the way that they make each, the spines are so colorful, like they put the text in like that kind of like vibrant color, and then when you look at the cover where it has files, case number, that's always in a different color, and I love it. I love it.
They look very good on the shelf too with all the colors next to each other. It's very cute. It looks like Joe Cellini was our cover artist for this.
Oh, thank you, Joe. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Joe. Mr. Cellini, I bow down. So good.
And this one was 1986 was when this was published, and boy, does it show. Look at that hair. I love it.
Not only does it show in the cover art, it also shows a lot in the story.
everything they're doing in the book. Oh, yeah.
The USSR, just to yep. name something, still existed at this time and features in the book for some reason. I know you're thinking, like, what?
What are you talking about?
For those of you who have played the game, it's very similar, but there are some notable differences, and that's one of them.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. But also, can we just talk about, like, the cover, not the cover, the title to this book, Secrets Can Kill?
So good. So catchy. It grabs you right away.
It definitely does. But also, like, I'm just thinking, like, what a way to immediately distinguish this series from the Nancy Drew series that came before. Because, actually, I guess there was only the Mystery Story series that came before this. This is the second series, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, what a way to distinguish yourself from that. Because, of course, you have kind of, like, the long mystery of, like, Clue in... the mystery of this,
the secret of this.
Yeah. Yes. But all of it's pretty, like, benign, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got, no. Secrets Can Kill.
Like, this is a murder case now.
This is serious. This is not your mom's Nancy Drew.
Right. This is telling us right away this is going to be a lot more intense, a lot more mature than anything mm-hmm. we've seen before.
And who boy is it? Let's see. Okay, so the premise of this is that Nancy is going back to high school to investigate the series of, it's just like thefts or vandalism. It's very unclear what she's actually gonna go to investigate, and they never really clarify it.
There's just some weird stuff going on at the school. Right. The principal wants Nancy to go undercover to investigate what's going on.
I will say that this means that Nancy has graduated.
Yep.
Not in school. She's going back to school. So she's graduated, but she's 18 or 19.
She's either 18 or 19.
Okay, now I got to double check. 18. So on page 2. At 18. Okay. Yeah. So she just graduated. She's fresh out of high school. Which makes sense because she fits in very well and doesn't seem like she's that weirded out by all the drama.
Yeah.
For example, if you were 30 years old like me going back to high school, you'd be like, oh my God, get me out of here. Children.
Oh my God.
Get away from me. Oh. Okay, but I think, like, another hallmark of this series that we have to talk about in this book in particular is that this is not an origin story.
No.
Like, this is not, and I think this is pretty similar, maybe except for, like, the Nancy Drew notebooks or the Clue books. Mm-hmm. As these series go on after the mystery stories, Nancy's just an established detective.
Right.
Like, there is no, this is how I got started, this is my first case, this is how I got started, there's none of that.
Right.
It's just, she does this.
There was a reference to, like, oh, Ned and I, we've known each other since childhood, and we've mm-hmm. been dating since whatever, in high school or whatever. So there mm-hmm. is that, which is obviously very different from what we learn in the mystery stories of how they meet and when that all starts. But otherwise, there's not any of that.
Right. Such an interesting choice to make. Instead of being like, you know what, this is a new Nancy Drew, let's reboot it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, it is a continuation. It's just a continuation of Nancy in the 80s.
Right.
Which is so interesting. Thinking about, like, as a publisher, that decision, like, why you would make that choice. Mm-hmm. And I think it does make a lot of sense when you think about, like, the mystery stories and the fact that they went on for quite a long time. I mean, even before this, you know, like, we had the 30s, the 50s, like, and, like, and all the way
digest
up through
started.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, but so, like, thinking about, like, Nancy already exists in, like, so many different eras without ever having rebooted the series, right? So it's all, like, this seamless, like, updating of Nancy Drew until they finally are like, no, let's make an actual new series, but let's not do a new origin story for Nancy.
Yeah.
So it feels a lot of it feels like just a continuation in the 80s.
I'm a fan of personally. I don't like contradicting stories of how things started for Nancy. Even the Ned stuff of we met when we were children. That's a little much for me because I want it to all make sense, but whatever. That's just me being nitpicky.
No, I agree. I think it also, it makes a lot of sense because like if you think about, well, you know, we want to keep our fans, you know what I mean? And like, not wanting to like go back and redo the experiences that they had for the books that they already love. Right. So like maybe it like an attempt to capture new fans, but keep the same ones that Nancy already has. And a great way to do that is just to be like, well, this is just different. Like those still exists, but this is a different experience and you may like it and we hope you read it. But it's different, you know, but it's not a redo. So I just, that's just great. Well,
I mean, people already knew Nancy Drew at this point. She'd been around for 56 years already at this point. So we didn't need a starting over here as introducing her because everybody already knows who she is, basically.
Cultural touchstone already. Yeah.
Exactly. So
household name. Yeah.
Big fan of how they did that. Definitely.
This is also, so after the Nancy Drew Hardy Boys Mystery Stories show has aired and stopped airing, this came to being. And so I think that if I were Simon & Schuster at that time, I would be like, you know what? We need to make something really exciting because that TV show was good.
Right.
And we need a way to like capture that and do something similar and get teens involved and revamp Nancy's like young audience, right? Because at this point, if you were a fan of the Mystery Stories, you could have read them when you were a child and you could be fully an adult at that point. So, you know, or even if you read them in the, like, the, you read the 30s ones, you could be like fully, you know, elder status, you know? So I think, I just think it's just so smart. So smart.
Ugh.
The one thing I think that we do need to talk about that I think is the most important part of this book is the relationship drama. And you already mentioned that briefly, Corey.
Yes.
But holy wow.
Y'all, Nancy's behavior is egregious. She's cheating on Ned this entire book.
Fully cheating on Ned. And we say at the beginning of the book, it's like page 2 or 3 or something, where she's like, I'm in a relationship with Ned. I've been with Ned since I was in high school. I love Ned so much. We're together. We're boyfriend and girlfriend.
All right.
Officially. Like, right at the beginning. And then throughout the entire thing, she's making out with another boy.
Does she say that they're official still? Because I remember her saying something about how that...
On again, off again. Okay.
Neither one was yet ready for a quote-unquote forever commitment, so occasionally they drifted apart, dating other people, yet somehow Nancy always found herself coming back to Ned. So I don't know that they're, like, exclusive official, but, like, they want to be heading in that direction, so wouldn't she go and make out with all these other...
They realized they loved each other and thought they would last forever.
Ugh. No, Nancy. No.
I just don't understand.
You need to be with a Hardy boy, and that is final, okay?
She's even like fantasizing about Ned in the beginning of the book. He's not even there. She's like, oh, his light brown hair, his soft dark eyes, his gently curving mouth. And she says, Ned was 100 times better in the flesh.
Oh,
the flesh! The flesh!
Nancy!
Why would you use that word?
Too scandalous.
So, I'm blushing, you guys. Oh, my God.
They're not holding back. They're letting us know we are going fully mature Nancy here. This is a young adult series. None of that 8 to 12 age range stuff anymore.
She is here and horned up.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Okay. So you have that to look forward to if you choose to read this book, and I very much recommend it.
Yes.
So before we jump in to our summary, let's get our three words.
Blueberry eyes.
Blueberry eyes
right
is one
bat.
Of them.
Yep.
And then I also think that just lust in general. I almost want to say like carnal lust.
Yeah.
Be very specific. Like, this is sinful, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I don't know why, but just like cars.
Okay.
I think whoever wrote this book had a serious car fetish because.
Yeah, I can see
the
it.
The description that we get about Nancy's Mustang and Daryl's Porsche and like all of like this name dropping of like these very exciting, fast cars, and there's a car chase in it. And I'm just like, oh my God, like, what is going on? Why does this matter? Somebody cared a lot about it.
Yeah.
Is all I'm saying. Yeah. I think that's it for me. Blueberry eyes, lust in cars.
Perfect.
That's Secrets King Kill in a nutshell. Go forth and read.
Yes. Well, okay. Let's just jump right in. Let's go.
Let's do it. You want to start?
Sure. So we start off, Nancy's in her bedroom, and we learn that she's getting ready to go undercover at a nearby high school, Bedford High, and she's going to be investigating some, like you said, it's a little bit unclear of exactly what has been going on, but we've had some break-ins, some petty theft, and some vandalism going on. So the principal has asked her to come go undercover to investigate. We're looking at all of our new clothes that we've gotten just for this experience. We had to go on a whole shopping trip to do this. She's also having a pillow fight with Beth and George, and they're just, you know, talking about what she's going to be doing at this high school. But then Hannah comes in, and she gives Nancy this unmarked envelope. It says that it was in the mailbox for her. So we open it. Inside is a VHS tape. So they watch it, and it looks like somebody has been following them around, recording them. It's just recordings of what they were doing earlier that day. So it's just them like at the mall shopping, and then it like stops and zooms in really closely on them. And it's like the creepiest thing you could imagine ever receiving in the mail. Yeah. So it looks like this person followed them pretty much the entire day. Like it's hours of footage. And at the end, we hear this, what they described it as a shrieking voice. It says, "Stick to shopping, Nancy Drew. It's a lot safer than snooping at Bedford High."
Duh, duh.
Excellent spin on our trope of like getting the warning mm-hmm. message right at the start of the mystery here. So Nancy doesn't sleep very well because of this, but she's not going to let this deter her from her mission. Obviously, we're still going to go ahead with snooping. So we drive our red Mustang through Bedford. It's red now. We're
Why not
driving
blue?
A blue car anymore,
Why not?
I guess.
What is the what's preventing us from having this car be blue? That's the only issue I have with this.
I think they make a point. I can't remember exactly. They make a point to say that Bedford is like a nearby town to River Heights. So she's having to commute a little bit to get to the school, but it's not super far away. But Bedford is this like apparently very rich town. So we make it to Bedford High or we make it to outside of Bedford High. We pull up at the red light, like outside of the school, and a Porsche comes like and drives up next to Nancy in the next lane. And she's very taken by the driver of this Porsche. He looks to be about 17 years old, and she remarks that he's very, very attractive. So as soon as the light turns green, she like cuts him off and like zooms in front of him and then races him to the school for whatever reason. Nancy gets to the school. As soon as she gets there, she's like in this crowded hallway. She overhears someone somewhere in this hallway, can't determine exactly where because it's so crowded, but they're threatening someone else for a ride. So she tries to look around, see who said it, can't figure it out. So she goes to meet with the principal, who tells her that his filing cabinets have been broken into multiple times. Some students' lockers have been broken into, and some video equipment from the video lab has gone missing. And a few like other little things like that have happened. But it's all very sketchy and confusing. They can't tell like if anything was actually taken from his filing cabinet or if the lock was just broken. That's kind of weird. No students have complained about their stuff having been stolen. And some of the video equipment that was taken was found a few days later. So it's all very strange. The police haven't been any help. They interviewed some faculty, but otherwise didn't really do much, and they just left. So the principal thinks that it's got to be a student or maybe a group of students that are up to something here. And then he introduces us to Porsche Guy, who is Daryl Gray.
Oh my gosh.
He's the president of the student body, and he is very connected with everyone here, very popular guy. So Daryl is told that he is basically supposed to be Nancy's contact for this case while she's here. So he knows the real reason that she's here, but otherwise, like, other people aren't supposed to know. But he's going to help, like, introduce people and get her an in so that she can have an easier time investigating. But then there's this, like, intense eye contact stare thing that they do. They're very, very clearly very attracted to each other right off the bat.
Instantly.
It's a lot. So they flirt for, like, a long time. And then finally they, like, break away from each other. Like, oh, yeah, okay, sorry. Anyway, this is Walt Hogan. He's the Bedford Hive football captain. So we meet a few people. Walt Hogan is, like, kind of standoffish, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And then we meet, we go to lunch, we meet Connie Watson, who asks Nancy to sit with her. But Nancy doesn't want to sit and have lunch. She wants to go snoop instead. So she goes down to the video lab, and she runs into this girl named Carla, who I think Daryl had previously, or did Connie introduce her? Somebody had introduced us mm-hmm. to her previously, but she wasn't, like, super friendly. But we're, like, wandering around the hallway looking for the video lab. And we're like, oh, hey, Carla, you must know where this is. Can you give us directions? And so she's like, oh, of course. Yeah, no problem. Go down here. Go down this way. You're going to want to go down the stairs. It's going to be this weird door. Don't worry about it. Just go through there anyway. You know, just keep going down mm-hmm. the hall. She gives us these weird directions, and Nancy doesn't think anything of it. She just follows them, ends up in the boiler room. So clearly Carla is just, like, being mean here, right, sending Nancy down to the boiler room for no reason. But while we're in the boiler room, we start hearing this angry conversation taking place. She, like, comes out of the room, and she sees, like, goes around the corner of the wall. She overhears Walt Hogan, the football captain, and then some guy named Jake kind of arguing about something. Walt seems very angry, and he says, I've given you what you want, Jake. And so we're like, that's okay, weird. So Jake comes out, and he sees Nancy, and he, like, sneers at her and tells her to back off, stop snooping around. But he's really, really creepy. He, like, tries to touch her and grab her and starts, like, whispering at her. It's really bizarre. Mm-hmm. But she thinks that she recognizes his voice, actually, as being the creep from the guy in the hallway that morning who she couldn't pinpoint the voice, the guy that was trying to get somebody else to give him a ride. She thinks yeah. that maybe that's the same voice.
Right. So it seems like Jake is, like, this school creep who is, like, somehow trying to get people to do stuff for him. Mm-hmm. And so she just, like, tells him to, like, buzz off, essentially, like, ugh, like, get away, like, I don't care about whatever it is that you have to say. And then luckily, oh so luckily, Daryl comes down the stairs and comes to her rescue. And then Jake makes some weird comments about Daryl, like that Daryl knows how to, like, make money and that he needs to, like, keep his eyes open or something. But of course, Nancy can't focus on that for too long because Daryl asks her to the dance this weekend. So she gets distracted by that. Of course she accepts. Of course she's going to go to the yeah. dance with Daryl. Even though you have a boyfriend, Nancy, okay. Anyway, so afterwards, after this weird interaction, Nancy goes to watch football practice with Connie. And Connie is an excellent gossip. She tells us a lot of things. She tells us that Carla hates her Connie because would never let her on the cheerleading team because Connie is too fat. Just let the mic drop on that for a second.
All right.
Connie says this about herself, too. Also, Connie tells us that Carla hates Nancy because Daryl likes Nancy now. Obviously, everybody is keenly aware of how intense these two are with each other. And apparently, Carla and Daryl used to have a thing, but they don't anymore, so Carla's jealous. So this is probably why Carla gave her the wrong directions earlier. She just doesn't like her. Connie also tells us that it's weird that Daryl drives a Porsche now because apparently his family lost all their money recently in some, like, business fiasco, and so she doesn't know how he got the Porsche. Nancy, however, is entirely uncurious. Okay, in her next class, Nancy sees Hal Morgan, who she's, like, heard about. Apparently he's, like, this class brain or something, and she's in class with him, and so she notices him. Also, he cheats off her in a pop quiz. So if he's so smart, if he's this class genius or whatever, why would he want to cheat off of Nancy? Weird. And then in the hallway, she overhears Hal talking to Jake. And Jake seems to be asking Hal to write a paper for him. Surprise, surprise. Why does everybody do this guy's, Jake's bidding? Like, why? Like, what is going on with that? And so Nancy decides that she is just going to follow him to his locker because she's curious about this guy. She doesn't know what's up. And he goes to his locker. And once he leaves, she picks his lock with her lock picking set. And inside the locker, she finds a shoebox. And inside the shoebox is this very unique bracelet that she's sure she saw Connie wearing earlier. So what's that about? She puts it back, I think, because somebody's like coming and she has to like leave. But she asks Connie about it later and Connie acts all weird about it and says, oh, no, you must be mistaken. That can't be mine. But then she like avoids Nancy like the plague. Like she will not come around Nancy anymore. Very weird. Later, Nancy tries to go back to the video lab again, her second try at investigating the video lab. But then she runs into Daryl and gets distracted again. She decides to ask him out for a Coke, like, right now, and he agrees. And they just take off. Nancy drives, so they get in Nancy's car. Then she starts going down this, like, particularly scary, steep, curvy hill, and her brakes go out. So Nancy crashes the car, and both she and Daryl narrowly escape before it explodes. Because that's the kind of book this is. The car explodes. She kind of says while this is going on that she just had the brakes replaced like 6 weeks ago. So there's no way that the brakes just suddenly stopped working. They're like brand new. So someone must have cut her brakes. This is interesting, and we need to talk about this later. She thinks it was Jake Webb, and because he did just threaten her, obviously, the day before, so who else would have done it? Then, I guess because of all of, like, this intense action or whatever, she and Daryl are so overcome, they just start making out.
Why not?
They had like jumped from the car and the car exploded behind them. So they like flew forward and like crashed together and they're like, oh my God. That's pretty much the scene.
Yeah.
The next day, Nancy shows up to school and she is ready to confront Jake about this because she is like, this dude cut my brakes. I'm going to go ask him what the heck he was thinking. Unfortunately, when she gets to school, there's like a bunch of like cop cars and stuff around and the entrance is like closed. And so she goes and talks to somebody and she's like, what's going on? And some nearby students tell her that kid, Jake, he was murdered. Dun, dun, dun. You guys, it's just so good.
Yes.
I mean, just iconic.
Yes.
So classic. So good.
I love that it actually happens during the book as well, because the game, his murder, takes place before the game actually starts. So Nancy's coming in to investigate after that happens. But love it. Love it. We go from like, some filing cabinets may have been broken into to now this is a murder case.
Yep.
So, okay, so we learned that he was found dead at the bottom of the stairs just outside the computer lab of the school early that morning. Apparently his time of death was around 6 a.m. So why was he at school that early? Kind of strange. His face was thoroughly beaten, so if he fell, he was attacked prior to doing so, or maybe was attacked and then fell or was pushed while he's being attacked, right. Something like that. So after the bell rings, Nancy decides to go snoop in his locker again before the police have a chance to clear it out. Inside, she finds some wire clippers, possibly used for cutting her brake lines, question mark, probably, right? There's a battery for a video camera. Maybe he was the one that was filming us at the mall. And then Connie's bracelet is still in there, or the bracelet that Connie says is not hers. And then we see an article from a newspaper about Walt Hogan and a recent sports injury that he'd gotten, and how it was hurting his chances of a football scholarship. And we also see something about some previously filled in SAT exams that were found, which is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
put that one on the back burner for now. So she puts it all back in the locker because she hears somebody coming. So she has to close it really quickly. She turns around and it's none other than Brenda Carlton coming up behind her. Brenda catches on pretty quickly to what Nancy is doing here. She figures out she's undercover, obviously is here to investigate this, and threatens to expose her for being undercover. She's going to go tell all of her classmates or something. But Nancy's like, hold on. Let's make a deal. Don't do that just yet. Let's make a deal. I will give you the full scoop of everything that I know, but only after the case is closed, nothing beforehand. So long as you don't rat me out to anyone at the school. And Brenda is like, you know what? I don't like it, but I do want that scoop. So I will agree to this. Nancy wants to catch up with some of her main suspects again today, but doesn't have the chance to. So she decides that she is now going to go break into that computer lab.
Third try.
She gets there and she thinks she hears somebody inside. So she's like, ooh, maybe not the best time to go in there. I'm going to do it anyway. So she picks the lock and there's no one in there. But the place has been completely trashed. So was that the cops looking for stuff, looking for evidence? Maybe they wouldn't have trashed it so badly. They certainly would have looked through things. Or was this maybe one of our suspects that did this? Very interesting. When she looks around a little bit, she finds a computer tape labeled I Spy. She puts it into a VHS player and watches it, or she starts watching it, and she sees it's a video of Walt Hogan hiding a pretty painful-looking injury from his coach or from his football team. So she's going to keep watching it, but then she hears somebody in the supply closet in the video lab. So maybe somebody was in here after all. So she takes the tape, she gets freaked out, and so she runs out of the room. So she gets home, she starts watching the tape a little bit more thoroughly, and she sees that whoever that was filming, we can assume that it was Jake, right? We see that he's filmed Connie shoplifting a bracelet. So that's probably why she was so weird about the bracelet. She didn't want us to know that she'd stolen it. And then we also see Hal stealing SAT answers from the filing cabinet. So could one of these people have murdered Jake as like a revenge for his, what is apparently blackmail here, that he's filming them, right? The blackmail. She theorizes that Jake put Hal up to stealing the answers for the SAT just so that he would like know where he was and then he could like film him doing this. Because we learned that Jake actually worked in the principal's office. So this is how he would have had like the chance to set up the cameras and everything. Right. And then this also could have been how he knew about Nancy coming, is because he might have just like overheard the principal talking because he was right outside the door. And then that's how he would have known to like go find Nancy, film her at the mall, and then threaten her that way.
Right.
So the next day we find Daryl, we tell him about the tape, and he is shocked by this news. She also tells him about how her dad just bought her a new car.
Convenient.
Because she couldn't go 24 hours without a vehicle, so...
Wait, I'm sorry, pause. She also is like, because Daryl, he makes some comment or something about how... I don't remember what exactly it was, but she's like, you know, it's not all it's cracked up to be. I have to pay him back with the insurance money once it comes in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, we made a deal. I could have the car now, but I do have to pay him back later, so...
I have to pay him with the insurance money to my previous car. So it's not like you actually, she has to do any.
Right.
It's just wild. Anyway.
He just bought her a new car so she wouldn't have to wait for the insurance money to then use that to go buy the new car. Oh, she does have to get a ride one morning from Bess and George.
Right. Because, oh, God.
Yeah, but that's too much of a hassle. So that's what prompts her to go get the new car. So we've got the new car, and then she decides that she is going to go track down and then gently, very gently, confront the people that she saw in the tape. So she goes to talk to Hal first, and he is terrified when Nancy starts bringing up SAT tips and stuff. But he doesn't really, like, tell us anything. So we go talk to Walt, and he gets, like, angry when we start asking about his injury. He's like, absolutely not. My football career is great. How dare you imply something like that? Blah, blah, blah.
He also, so I didn't write this in there, but he Nancy feels like physically threatened a little bit by him. Oh, yeah. I don't know if it's just his like size, but Nancy's like, oh, I suddenly realize how big this guy is and we are here alone. And if he gets angry enough, and could he have murdered Jake and will he attack me? Like, you know, so that's, it's a pretty tense moment. Mm-hmm. But then she realizes, okay, well, this whole like subtle attempt to, you know, question these people is not working. So I'm going to take a more direct approach with Connie. And so basically she goes up to Connie and she's like, so the reason I asked you about that bracelet is because I found it in Jake's locker and now he's dead, right? So Connie tearfully admits to having a shoplifting problem that Jake was blackmailing her for. And she says that he made her, quote unquote, do everything he asked. But she doesn't clarify what everything is, which I want to talk about later, too. She says she definitely did not murder him, though. And she's so upset, she runs off in tears because she thinks that by Nancy coming up and asking her this, that Nancy thinks that she murdered Jake. After school that day, Daryl asks to come over to Nancy's house to watch the tape in case he notices anything she didn't, because he knows these people and she doesn't. She's like, oh, great idea. Yeah, please come over. And they watch the tape and he doesn't notice anything that Nancy didn't. But they do use the opportunity to make out some more. They are like literally fully like rolling around in Nancy's living room. When the doorbell rings, it's Best and George. So they stop their shenanigans and he leaves. And then Nancy gets a call from Ned. Literally like moments later, Ned calls after she's been making out with this boy. and he tells Nancy that he's coming down this weekend. She's very excited about it because she is happy to see Ned. She's like, oh, you know, I do really like Daryl, but I love Ned. You know, I'm so excited to see him. Oh, but wait, I have a date with Daryl this weekend to the dance. Oh, no. How is this going to work out? She doesn't make an attempt to figure it out. She's just like, guess we'll see. And then
once she kind of, she's like, should I tell Ned? Just like be upfront and be like, I have a date with someone else.
Right.
No. I'll figure it out. It's fine.
I'm sure it'll be fine. Golly. So she gets called downstairs from Bess and George. She went upstairs to take the call from Ned, and Bess and George are still downstairs. And she and Daryl left the tape playing in like the living room or whatever. And turns out there's more on this tape than they originally thought. Ooh. So they watch a little bit longer and they see, oh, who could it be but Daryl? He doesn't seem to be doing anything obviously illegal, but he does meet with a man with some like name tag that they can't really read, and this man gives him an envelope. Then we see more footage of Daryl going somewhere else, but clearly, like, Jake has something on Daryl. Like, this is somehow, like, incriminating. Could Daryl be the one who murdered Jake? And could he have, in fact, come to Nancy's house to see this tape, to see if he was on it? And if he had seen this and found out that he was indeed on this tape, would he have killed Nancy? I love this.
So good. So intense.
So Bess and George and Nancy decide, okay, well, let's investigate further. Let's go to the diner where Daryl met with this name tag guy. So they go there, and it happens to be right next to this massive complex of buildings with a no unauthorized personnel sign on the outside of it. Also a sign that says U.S. government. What is Daryl up to here? They ask inside the diner, like, hey, like, what is that place? And the people in the diner say, oh, it's an Air Force defense base. All kinds of defense technology in there. They're cooking up all kinds of plans over there. It's a serious, serious place. They even make a mention in the diner of like, yeah, our diner, it really sucks for our diner because if Russia decides to attack, they're definitely going to bomb that place. And we're right here. So, oh, no. Very 80s, very 1980s. So then they decide to drive to the place. So they drive around a little bit to try to find this place that's also on the tape where Daryl went with the envelope after he got it. And it's this building that has a sign on the outside that says USSR private property. They kind of talk about it a little bit and they're like, oh, you know, it's probably an embassy because the UN is nearby, or they say something is nearby. So, you know, maybe they just have this in River Heights. They just have this nearby house that they have for diplomats.
Nope, embassies would say embassy on it. Sorry, but it wouldn't say USSR private property. Keep away.
Was USSR private property? Why would they have a sign that says so? Why wouldn't they just say private property?
Right.
But so after seeing this sign, the girls are like, you know what? It's a great idea. Let's drive in there. Let's go up.
No.
They're like, we could just pretend to be lost.
Great idea. Ignore all those signs.
So they drive up. They don't even like get out of the car when two men with guns come out of the building and like start walking toward them. They literally start raising up their guns and pointing them at them.
Well, I could have told you that was going to happen, Nancy. Come on. Like,
so they zoom out of there. They're like, never mind. They drive away. But then, of course, the men with the guns jump into a van and start driving after them. So now they're in this high-speed chase scene. They're literally, like, running through red lights, zooming all around the small town of Bedford. And the girls decide, like, okay, like, what are we going to do? Like, we can't keep doing this. And then they drive up past this crowded pizza place. And they say, okay, I know, let's park in here and let's go inside so that we're surrounded by people and so that these men are less likely to try to confront us, right? Great idea. It works. They go inside the pizza place and the men drive off. However, this little adventure has made them conclude that Daryl must be involved in spying for the Russians.
This is a leap, I would say. We saw him get an envelope from a closed-off building, and that means we're a Russian spy.
Yeah.
Love it.
I mean, it does mean that, so.
It does, yeah, to be fair. There's not a lot of, like, you know, innocent reasons you'd be going about doing all these things, but to say, like, oh, well, obviously he's a spy, clearly.
Obviously he's spying for the Russians, obviously. Right. Wow. This is big information, right? So could one of these Russian goons with the guns, could they have killed Jake? Or maybe it was the guy with the name tag who worked at the defense plant. Maybe he killed Jake, right? So now we have some new suspects here. And Nancy already has an idea of how she's going to handle this and how she's going to handle Daryl at the dance. Now that we know this about him, she's just going to need a little bit of help from Bess and George.
Oh, one thing that I don't know if you've added it in here, but we learned that Bess has a boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't.
This book. His name is Alan, and she is just enamored with him. And I don't think we meet him until the dance because she needs Bess and George's help. So Bess is going to bring him as her date. So we don't meet him until that point. But
he's actually in a band and he's playing at the dance.
Oh, yes. That's right. That's right. So Bess is going to be there anyway. Yes. So that's his whole thing, this whole book is like, oh, Alan's so great and we're doing this and we're just, you know, two little lovebirds. So we get to the dance and she is just trying her best. Nancy is trying her best to act like everything is just normal between her and Daryl. She's obviously like terrified that he's really the murderer and that she's, you know, alone with him now. So that's kind of freaky, but she's just like trying to keep her cool and pretend like she's still just as into him as she was the other day when they were rolling around in the Drew living room. Yeah. She's like, you know, letting him be very handsy. They're making out a little bit again, even though she like clearly doesn't want to very much. But yeah, so they're at the dance doing this and Nancy's like, you know, we could get out of here, you know, wink, wink. And so he's like, all right, yeah. Let's go to my car.
Oh, my cheeks hurt from the amount that I'm like blushing and grinning right now. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So they go out to the car where Daryl thinks that they're gonna, you know, do some activities, and they start making out some more, and she's like, oh, hold on, wait one second, are you the murderer? Just as she suspected, he gets very angry at this, like violent, basically, drags her out of the car, like gets out, goes around to her side of the car, opens the door, drags her out. But Nancy knew this was going to happen. She kind of wanted to provoke him a little bit because she has Bess, Alan, and then George, and George's surprise date, Ned. So the four of them come running out, she's of course asked them to come and like be ready for this. And so they start like flashing their headlights and their cars at him, which causes him to get really scared. He doesn't know who they are. So he runs off. But in a classic Ned Nickerson move, he runs and just tackles Daryl.
Yep.
And then literally drags him back to Nancy.
Here's your trash, Nancy. Yeah.
All right, Daryl, let's try this again. Did you kill Jake or was it one of the other spies? And he's like, oh, no. It's Mitch, who is name tag guy from the defense plant. And so we learned that Jake also tried to blackmail Mitch. And when Mitch tried to get Jake to give him the tape, Jake refused. So that's when Mitch killed him. Daryl knows this because Mitch just outright told him and then tasked him with going to get the tape that Jake had left now that he's dead. But then, of course, when he watched it at Nancy's house and he saw that there was no evidence of him or, I guess, Mitch on the tape, he thought he was off the hook and it was all fine. But he's still, of course, very scared of Mitch because Mitch is freaking terrifying.
A murderer.
Yeah, he's a murderer.
Yeah.
So Nancy comes up with another plan and convinces Daryl that he's going to help her with this. They are going to set up a little sting operation. So Daryl has gotten Mitch to agree to meet him at a local park because he says, I've got the tape, come to the park, I'm going to give it to you, right? And he is, like, the plan is that while he's doing this, he's going to try to get Tim to, like, admit to killing Jake, and then they're all going to be wearing a wire, so they'll get it on tape, and then Nancy, her friends, and all the police, also the police will be, like, waiting in the bushes, just waiting to arrest him once they get the confession, right? So Mitch agrees to meet Daryl in the park, but then unexpectedly has to move the meeting time up a little bit, so basically, like, everything is still going to go ahead as planned, just the police aren't there yet whenever this is about to go down.
Ruh-roh.
So they just have to go forward with everything without them. So Daryl waits, is just, like, waiting on a park bench. And then, as I said, Nancy and her friends are kind of hiding in the bushes. He arrives, they start talking, but, like, Nancy realizes that she and her friends are too far away to actually hear what Daryl and Mitch are saying to each other. So Nancy decides she's going to, like, sneak forward so that she can hear better, but then some flash of light happens somewhere in the park, and this catches Mitch off guard, and so he gets, like, spooked. He snatches the tape from Daryl and then takes off. So something must have gone wrong here.
So Nancy chases after him. She's like, jumps up and runs off after him because she's like, he can't get away, right? She's gonna catch him. And then as she's, like, running towards where all this is happening, she hears Brenda Carlton's voice shouting, let go of me, let go of me. So Brenda must be the one who's foiled our plan here. She must have taken a picture for her article or something, and this spooked Mitch. And now Mitch has Brenda in his arms. He's literally holding her with a gun to her head. You guys.
Come on, Brenda. Come on.
So he's got Brenda with a gun to her head, and Nancy has now run up to this, and he's like, who are you? You know, whatever. But he basically tells Nancy, like, okay, you better give me that camera that I guess is, like, on the ground nearby now, or I'm going to shoot this girl, in the head. How nobody else in this park has noticed this and is not responding in some way, I don't know. We don't know anything about that. But Nancy decides, like, okay, I know that the police are gonna be here. If I can just stall this guy long enough for them to get here, then, you know, that might be what saves us, right? So she decides to, like, play it cool, right? And she starts, like, asking him questions. She's like, so you're the one who killed Jake? And he's like, yes. So now we have the confession on tape. Excellent. I love that moment. Go, Nancy. But then he gets, like, irritated with all these questions or whatever and starts to count down. He's like, I'm going to count down from 10. And if you don't give me that camera, I'm going to pull this trigger, right? So obviously this is very stressful and tense, and he gets down to, like, 2. And so Daryl picks up the camera, like, he's going to give it to him, like, he can't, right? He's going to do what he says. But then instead swings it up into his face and smacks him in the head. The gun goes off. And Nancy doesn't hesitate. She runs to tackle Mitch. She gets him down on the ground, but he punches her in the face and she has to, like, let go. So he gets up and then runs off with both the camera and the tape. Luckily, Ned and Alan, who's also there, are able to catch up to him and take him down and essentially, I guess, like, sit on him until the police arrive. Unfortunately, Daryl has been shot, but only in the shoulder. He's still, like, conscious. He seems to be okay. And that's our big finale. So to conclude, Mitch is arrested for murder and espionage. Wild. It's unclear what's going to happen to Daryl, who's currently recovering in the hospital, but hopefully his help catching Mitch will reflect well on him if the government decides to prosecute. The principal seems to think that the police are going to keep quiet about the other students' crimes. Hal is retaking the SATs. Walt didn't do anything wrong, in my opinion, but Walt is going to be stepping away from a few games to recover from his injury, and Connie has agreed to seek treatment for her shoplifting problem. And Brenda...
That's right.
Sorry,
what? In the game, it's a steroid thing. Right. And I forgot he didn't do that in this. He literally was just injured and wasn't telling anyone.
Right, because he wanted to keep playing so he could get a scholarship.
Yeah, so he just put himself through some pain and suffering, but right. Otherwise hurt no one. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Walt did nothing wrong, was not a criminal in any way. Huh. I mean, he should have, you know, spent the time to recover for his own health, but, like,
sure.
He wasn't putting anybody else in danger. He wasn't committing any crimes.
Didn't do anything immoral by any means. Yeah.
No.
Interesting.
No.
Poor Walt.
And then also, yeah, poor Walt. He also gets a lot of the hate just for being, like, this big guy who's just kind of grumpy. But, like, of course he's grumpy. He has, like, an injury. He's in pain. Yeah. So, anyway. Brenda also gets the big cover story that she wanted, and she leaves Nancy out of it as she agreed to. So Nancy's cover is still intact at Bedford High should the need for her services ever arise again. However, there is one big elephant in the room at the end of this book that Nancy decides she has to clear up. She has to confess to Ned about Daryl.
At least she's doing the right thing now.
So she, like, it's like the end of, as she meets with the principal and she goes and gets in the car with Ned, who's, like, giving her a ride, I guess. And, she doesn't tell him, like, specifically what happened between them. She's like, Ned, there's something I need to tell you about. And he's like, it's Daryl, right? And she's like, yeah, could you tell that there was, like, something going on between us? And he was like, yeah, a little bit. And he's like, but is it over? And she's like, yeah, it's over. It never, like, really even got off the ground, right? Like, nothing really happened. Which is a lie, by the way. I'm sorry. Making out is cheating. Kissing is cheating.
Jeez, Nancy.
But so she doesn't like give him any specifics, and but he doesn't really want them either. He says he's like, as long as it's over, like, I don't need to know anything. I understand, you know. But Nancy isn't really like comforted by his response because she's like looking at him, trying to like understand what it is he's thinking or feeling. And she just can't see what's going on underneath. He's being very like cool and kind of distant about it.
You know why? Because he's up to the same shady shit as she is.
You think so?
Yes.
But she thinks, you know what? I confessed. I told him my conscience is clear and we'll just have to see what happens. And that is how they end the book.
Yeah.
Wild.
What a great start to all the drama that happens in this series.
Oh my gosh. Now I get it. Now I understand. Like, I think, you know, we read them kind of out of order. When we read the files before, we obviously didn't know this context. But of course, she has a lot of relationship drama with Ned throughout mm-hmm. the files. They break up, right? It's like, well, obviously, Nancy's cheating in book one.
Yeah. Well, and I say the thing about Ned because I think as Which is the book where he proposes? Is it book 8?
No, that's 2 points to murder.
Oh, maybe it's 24 then.
It's...
Yeah, it is. It's 24, Till Death Do Us Part. So the summary of that one says that after Nancy, like, turns down his proposal, like, the next week he's already engaged to somebody else.
Oh.
So how does that start if you don't already have some other iron in the fire, Ned? I'm sorry, but, like...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. This is the thing. It's just, like... I get it. You know what I mean? Like, your first love is very important and they stick in your brain for a long time. Like, it's true. It's always true. Just the on and off again nature of it is like, you guys need to just let go.
Yeah.
You need to let go of this.
If this is how you're going to act the second another handsome guy looks at you, then maybe he's not right for you, Nancy.
Right. Right. Or just, like, if it's true that you really love Ned and you're always going to love Ned and eventually you do want to get with Ned, like, you need to take a long time to figure that out.
Yeah.
Like, because clearly you're having a lot of other feelings.
Yeah.
You need to go to therapy or something, Nancy, because, oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. This is truly wild. Wild
stuff.
It's
gross. It's wild. Yeah.
It's gross. It's not, I mean, like, it's fun to read. I'm, like, literally, like, shrieking and giggling and kicking my feet when I read it because it's so exciting. But it's, like, a little bit gross. It's, like, I don't really want to read about Nancy rolling around on her living room floor with some guy. Like, that's not why I read Nancy Drew books. But maybe it is why I read the Nancy Drew files. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, this part is of not it. not the role model that we grew up with, certainly.
No. Oh, good Lord.
That's not what they're trying to do here with this.
Because
these are young adults who we're not presenting a role model here. We're presenting a drama.
Right.
And a mystery.
I will also say there is something really dear to my heart about the detective falling in love with, like, the suspect or, like, the murderer.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
That trope, it just, chef's kiss.
It's
like Mary Higgins Clark, like, core is, like, the woman ends up falling in love with, like, her stalker and before she realizes that he's actually, like, stalker or serial killer or something. Like, I love it. I eat it up. At any time, oh my gosh, he's the suspect. I kissed him. Like, I love it. I live for it. Live for it. So, yeah, I can't complain too much. Oh, so good.
It is a great one.
Okay.
What else you got?
Let's get serious. Okay, we have to talk about Jake.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, wow, wow. There's so much to say.
Mm-hmm.
Can I read that little bit where he's, like, threatening Nancy in the hallway?
Yes.
Because it is the grossest scene, and I think it plays a lot into some things I want to say about Jake. Okay, so Nancy felt an overwhelming urge to tell the creep to buzz off Jake, but Jake wasn't acting like the average high school egomaniac, and she was curious to see what he was up to. Jake climbed the stairs until his eyes were level with Nancy's. Still smiling, he ran one finger lazily up her arm, across her neck, and to her lips. Well, I'm not done. Rule one, Jake said softly, keep your mouth shut about what you just heard. If you don't, you'll never learn rule two.
I'm sorry. What is rule two?
Literally, that's the end of the chapter. And at the first part of the next chapter, it says, Nancy was tempted to bite Jake's finger and see what would happen.
She should have done it.
Chomp. Ugh. Ooh, how creepy. Like, the sexual, like, up the arm to the lips. Like, Oh, so gross and rapey.
Yeah.
And that's something I want to talk about is because Connie.
This man's a predator.
A predator. And she doesn't. So she says, he made me do everything he asked.
Yep.
Nancy doesn't ask really what that is, but the connotations are bad, in my opinion. Like, God help this poor girl. Mm-hmm. Like, what was he asking her to do?
Right.
Like, ugh. So gross. So gross.
I'm gonna be sick. That's just...
But also, so it's implied that he is a kind of like attempted to murder Nancy?
Yeah.
He cut her brakes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's not the murderer. Like, it's Mitch. Mitch is the one who murdered Jake. Jake hasn't murdered anyone, but he cuts Nancy's brakes, supposedly. We never really learn if it was him or it wasn't, but it's implied it's him with the wire cutters.
Right.
And so if he was ready to murder, who is this boy? He needs to be committed.
Is that what rule two is? That, like, if you break rule one, I'm going to try to hurt you?
Oh, my God. No, I mean, it's implied. If you break rule one, you never learn rule two. So she broke rule one, which
Yeah, I had it backwards. Okay.
To, like, keep her mouth shut or something. And I guess she talked to Daryl about it.
Okay.
And so he tries to kill her. That's the thing, is why does he cut her brakes? Exactly.
That's not consistent with everything else he does, because he's trying to get blackmail material. And now he's just, like, actively trying to hurt people? Because that's not just Nancy. That could have hurt a lot of people, you know, if she'd actually been in a car accident.
So I assume because of his blackmail MO, it's rule one is keep your mouth shut and rule two is do everything I say. You know? And if you don't keep your mouth shut, then I'll harm you, right?
Right. So that's why you won't learn rule two is because you'll be dead.
You'll be dead. But she didn't really tell. She didn't do anything. It's just literally the next day he cuts her brake. Maybe it was supposed to be more of like a threat than like a murder attempt. But like,
I don't know. That could have gone south really quickly.
Yeah. Or, I mean, like, it could have been someone else, I guess, theoretically, but nobody else knew. Like, Mitch didn't even know who Nancy was when they confront him at the end.
Right.
So it's Nancy's car that the brakes cut. It's not Daryl's car or anything. So.
That is a little bit odd. Okay.
Anyway, he is a creep. Full-on creep, like Nancy said. He is like a predator, needs to be committed.
Yeah.
Because he's, what, like 17, 18?
Yeah.
How did he get here?
Yeah.
Like, he's a child still. Like, I mean, like, I know a lot of children commit crimes sometimes, but, like, this is, like, next level. Like, criminal behavior, like true like cruel actions for the sake of like cruelty's sake and like power, and like not like it's not petty theft, it's not like drug use or anything like that, it's just I want to have power over people.
He's not even like trying to get money out of this. He's not extorting any information or money. He's just, you know,
doing
somebody's
homework,
doing his
giving
homework
me
for
rides.
Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a scumbag.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, okay. I have to talk about Nancy just in general. Like, first of all, she describes herself as one of the hottest young detectives.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
On like page 2, she says this. She's, Nancy already had a reputation in her hometown of River Heights as one of the brightest, hottest young detectives around.
Relieving our humbleness in the mystery stories here, because wow.
She also, so it's like the, she's so wealthy. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
She buys an entirely new wardrobe. She talks about her designer jeans, which LOL, she says cost 50 whole dollars.
Yeah.
I wish I could buy designer jeans for $50.
Wait, I did look this up and I forgot. Inflation.
Yeah, what it is today? Yes.
140.
Oh, shut up.
That's pretty expensive for a pair of pants.
I mean, yeah. But I wouldn't say, like, it's not, like, designer. It's probably just a really good pair of pants.
Sure.
You know?
Well, those are apparently the same pants she carried with her through the entire game series, so she got her money's worth out of them.
That's true. Those 80s mom jeans. Love She's it. Wearing them on the cover.
Yep.
I don't know. The wash is a little bit darker, I think. But anyway. and the new car, like, instantly after her old one is crashed, like, wow.
You know, the fact that she's out of high school and has all this time to do this, doesn't have a job, not in college,
It's just wild to me. I mean, like, that concept in and of itself, like, I don't know a single 18-year-old that doesn't have some kind of ambition. Like, it doesn't have to be a large ambition, you know what I mean? But, like, you have a lot of time left in your life, presumably.
Yeah.
And you don't have any concept of, like, where you're going to go with this. Like, you know, and then we don't get any clue of that from Nancy, who is herself a very driven, ambitious girl. And so it's just, I think that's why I come back to it so much as being like, how old is Nancy? Is she in school? What is she doing? It's because it's so atypical to like the rest of Nancy's character. It's almost like jarring that it's like, there has to be something that she's doing.
She doesn't think about the future at all outside of Ned, apparently, but.
Right. Which is not characteristic of Nancy either, you know? So it's just, I want to know. It feels like a part of Nancy that we're missing. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It feels like there's an aspect to her that is purposefully hidden from view. And that's why I keep coming back to it so much. But yeah.
Maybe that was always her plan. Just, I'm going to solve mystery. I'm going to sit around, wait for a mystery to happen, and then I'm going to solve it. And then I'm going to do the next one. And that's going to be my life now.
I mean, like, that's all well and good, and I get it. And that's a fine ambition. But you'd think she would be chasing it more. Like, if that were the case, that she wouldn't just let it come to her, like, people reaching out to her. Like, she would have a detective agency.
Right,
She would have business cards. She would, you know, like, there would be...
True, some element of that,
but there's
and
not
just I'm rich enough to sit around and wait for a mystery to fall in my lap or to be called upon
the whole day shopping, like reading books on crime or like how to do different things, how to, you know, hotwire a car, or, you know, she's not researching, she's not learning, there's no direction. It's just whatever comes. So rich.
Oh, Nancy.
Oh, man. To be Nancy Drew.
I wish we had more Carson in this. We have, like, you know, a little blip of Hannah, but and a mention of Carson with the car thing. But otherwise, he's not in the book.
He's also mentioned by the principal, because I think the principal's friends with Carson. Mm-hmm. And so that's how he knew to reach out to Nancy, because Carson recommended her. Mm-hmm. Wish we had gotten some Daddy Carson in this.
Maybe he walks in on her and Daryl in the living room.
Oh! Like,
Get out, Daryl!
My God!
Hands off my child!
That would have been so good.
Right?
Well, because I think Carson's response would be very telling. Like, because he's not an angry guy.
No.
In the Nancy Drew books, I think probably in... like film adaptions he's different, but in the books he's very cool, and so I think it would just be like like a cough and like, so
I don't think
it'd be kind of a, no yeah. yeah Nancy feeling the embarrassment and the shame of Carson's, like, disapproving glare.
If anything, he'd be like, you know, Nancy, he is a suspect. Let's talk about the, like, getting involved with suspects thing,
because that's a little weird. Let's talk about the ethics of detecting and how you are not being an ethical detective right now. You need to keep yourself safe and emotionally get some distance.
Right. Yeah, where was Hannah during all this?
Like, seriously.
Nancy's rolling around on the floor with this strange boy that she met yesterday. And what?
I love it so much. So much. Okay. So do you want to talk a little bit about the initial Bess and George descriptions in this? I know we get a lot of contentious stuff with Bess and George throughout the files, but I felt like in Secrets and Kill, it was actually a really good representation.
It was fun,
So George is, like, absolutely not annoying.
Yeah.
There's nothing problematic about George. She doesn't say anything mean yet. You know, she's not harping on Bess. We do get the description at the beginning of them. Let's see. At the beginning where it says, cousins. That's all they had in common. Blonde-haired Bess is bubbly and easygoing and always looking out for two things, a good diet and a great date. So far, she hasn't found either. She was constantly trying to lose 5 pounds, and she fell in and out of love every other month. And then it talks about George with curly dark hair and a shy smile, quiet with a dry sense of humor, and a beautifully toned body of an athlete. George liked boys as much as Bess did, debatable, but she was more serious about love. When I fall, she says, she'd say, it's going to be for real. So, you know, there's the Bess dieting thing, but they don't cast any, like, judgment onto it.
Right.
Or about her falling in love a lot. Like, there's no judgment. It's just who Bess is. So I think that's fine. You know, there's nothing terrible about that, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm into it.
Yeah, I like Bess and George in this. They weren't in a huge amount of it. Just we shop at the beginning, they give her one ride, and then obviously they're at the end with everything. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
no, they were good in this. I liked it.
Yeah, and I think it's, like, a good setup for how they are. Like, it gives them, like, good characteristics for us to keep coming back to, right, and refocusing on.
Yeah.
Of course, we gets out of hand with Bess. Often, as is the case.
Yep.
Just depending on whose, I guess, take on Bess that we're getting, which ghostwriter, right?
Yep.
Or what editor is looking at it. But yeah, I think to start with, this is a good little framework. Yeah.
This is completely irrelevant, but since we mentioned Bess, the little preview at the end for the next book, Nancy's Next Case. When she investigates a rock star's mysterious disappearance, Nancy once again finds herself probing perilous secrets. Her only lead takes her straight to Bess's new boyfriend. What is he hiding? Finding out may kill her friendship with Bess, but not finding out may kill the kidnapped rock star, with Nancy and her friends next on the list. Wasn't Alan the evil boyfriend in the first diary as well? Is that a reference to that? Wasn't that his name?
You're right. His name was Alan.
Right.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
That jumped out at me big time.
The phone.
Oh, you're getting the diaries out?
Yes. They're stuck in the box.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. No, that's totally true. Because student at the local university. You're right. Because when I read this the first time, I was like, what are they trying to do here with Bess and this boyfriend? I was very interested in that because it seemed kind of, like, out of the blue and, like, just really, like, irrelevant to everything that's going on. But one, it's definitely a setup for the next book.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I think I was thinking there must be something nefarious going on with him, or he's going to play into the plot somehow.
Right.
Because I think I was remembering
Alan
from the diaries. Yes.
I've got the second one here. I've pulled it out. It is a different last name. He's Alan Wales in this one, but still.
Okay.
Very interesting.
I love that. Gosh, I love that.
It takes place at Radio City Music Hall, the second one.
Oh, very cool.
That's fun.
We're not covering it next, Regular Drews. Don't get excited.
No, I want to. Goodness.
Well, we'll get to it one day.
Someday.
We're going to come back. Don't worry. We're going to read every single file.
That's eventually. The thing. Well, I hope we read every single Nancy Drew eventually, yeah. But that's the thing with the files. They always tease you for the next one. And I'm like, oh, I need to know. And then, yeah. So,
I mean, the mystery story is teased for the next ones too. It's just not exciting.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, wow.
I love it.
I love it so much. Oh, is there anything else we want to talk about with this one?
You know, we didn't really focus on the blueberry eyes thing, even though that was one of our three words. Every time Nancy looks at Daryl, she's like, oh, those blueberry eyes.
His eyes. His gorgeous eyes. I'm lost in his blueberry eyes.
Like two perfect plump round blueberries staring back at me.
I don't think she mentions the blueberries every time. She does talk about his blue eyes a lot. But yeah. It stand out enough the one time that she says it. That it's worthy of one oh, yeah. of being one of the three words. Yeah. It's so like, oh, like what a weird thing to say, Nancy.
But no, other than that, I think that's all I've got for this one. How about you?
Yeah. No, that's it. Just such a great start it to truly such is. An auspicious series. I get why they based a game off of this. Like,
oh yeah, we didn't even talk about the game.
No, I mean, like I think the plot of it is so, like, it's crazy, it's wild, and that there's car crashes and explosions and Russian spies mm-hmm. and all of that. Like, it's off the wall, but it's also the plot is so well done and it's really well contained mm-hmm. in the story, structured so well. I think it's just such a well-written little novel.
Absolutely.
I get it. 100% get it. Why they would want to turn that into a PC game. It makes mm-hmm. so much sense. Yeah.
The game adaptation is great. I really, really enjoy the game, even though it is, I mean, the graphics are terrible. It's very short, but plot-wise, it's a really strong one, I think.
It's intense.
They do change a significant number of details to it, mm-hmm. but overall, it's pretty reliable. It's a pretty reliable adaptation, I think. Pretty faithful.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the changes they do make to it they make a lot of sense. So, like, obviously, we combine some characters. We, you know, cut out some characters. That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. But also, like, the skipping the whole, like, beginning, like, vandalism, like, it's just the blackmail, just the murder right. of Jake that we're investigating. That makes so much sense because, of course, that's the most right. exciting and interesting bit. Like, why do you want all this silly front stuff?
We find out about the blackmail, which is
right.
makes it even more intriguing.
Right. I love the fact that they set it in Florida. Nancy goes to stay with Aunt Eloise. Mm-hmm. I love that. That's a great change. It harkens to more, right?
Right.
Like, it gives us like a wider range here. It's like Nancy is not in, like, she's somewhere entirely else, which means that, like, she could be anywhere in the future. And also, like, Aunt Eloise, who's not even in this book, by the way, means that, okay, so they have a knowledge of Nancy Drew mm-hmm. outside of just this. Like, it's not just an adaptation of this book, it's an adaptation of Nancy Drew as a whole.
Right.
And so I think, yeah, just really smart choices.
It's a good one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll have to cover the game at some point in the future, but that's for another day.
You know, I think I played the remastered version one time.
Really?
I don't think I've replayed the remastered version.
The remastered gets even further away from the book.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe I'll save it for when we cover the game eventually, but I think they could have come back to the book even more when they tried to revise it. Like, instead of adding in the other random character, they mm-hmm. could have just picked one of the characters that they originally cut out and just add them back in, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter anymore. So.
Yeah, but I was trying to think, like, how is the remaster, like, any comments I wanted to make about the remaster, but I don't even really remember it that well, because I think, like I said, I played it one time.
Yeah.
So, I remember the culprit, but, like, I don't really remember how we get there.
I think I prefer the original game, honestly.
I feel myself. Like I remember that, too, from when I replayed it. It's probably why I haven't replayed it, because...
Yeah.
First one's nostalgic, and even though it's, like, old and clunky, there's something really... I don't know, so charming about, like, of, like, the hidden little details that you can just come across mm-hmm. and puzzles that like you can solve, you don't have to solve, like all the little message boards in the hallways anagrams and
it's also a really great peek into early Hair Interactive and how they did everything back then. Mm-hmm. It's really great. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Okay, but so for the book, flashlight score?
5 flashlights.
Five flashlights. Yes, absolutely. 5 No question. 5. No question, no debate. It's just so good.
Yes.
So good. Go read it. Yeah.
I love the files so much. I'm so glad we're back to them.
Me too. I wonder why. Like, I don't understand what it is about them that makes me love them more than anything else. Like, the Nancy Drew Diaries, for example, are another spectacular series that I think is written really well that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. I love the files way more.
Yeah.
Like, way more. Like, I'm obsessed.
Gives you, like, an adrenaline rush when you're reading it.
It does. It does. It's so exciting. And just so, like, there's just no other word for it, but iconic. Like, they're just iconic. It's just, mm-hmm. like, such a place in time, such a vibe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So distinct. There's no other Nancy Drew book like The Files.
No, definitely not.
No other Nancy Drew series like The Files.
Well, I mean, we haven't read the on-campus ones yet. That's something that we'll have to plan to do soon enough here. But those I've heard are bad. Like, well, yes, but they don't even focus on the mystery. Like, it's right. mostly it's just like drama. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Which is disappointing. But, mm-hmm. you know, maybe we'd like the dramatic aspects of it because we like the dramatic aspects of The Files so much. So we'll have to see on that. But I agree. They are very unique in that sense.
Yeah. We'll get there. But next up, we are going to be covering another file, of course.
Yes, our patrons were unanimous on this one. So.
Which rarely happens.
Yeah.
Usually, a lot of the times what happens is we'll get a 50-50 split and we just have to break the tie. But it looks like everybody was for number 7, Deadly Doubles, which... I wasn't even really on my radar, but I just picked it to be in this group of this voting round. And then I read the synopsis of it, and I was like, oh boy, this one's going to be good. So it says, Nancy is abducted by terrorists when she poses as a government courier to deliver a document vital to top secret negotiations with a country on the brink of revolution.
Uh-oh. So are we just continuing Daryl Gray's work?
Of espionage. Yeah. We're just in the 80s and firmly into our, like, USSR spying.
Clearly.
It's like Captive Witness all over again.
Oh, God. Like, I hope not.
Maybe that should be the theme of this little chunk of books that we're covering. Espionage. Not Nancy Drew Files, but Nancy Drew Files specifically about spying.
Yes. I'm just kidding. I don't know. Maybe our patrons know something that we do not, because if they were all this excited to vote for this one, then it sounds like it's going to be a pretty good one.
Mm-hmm. It is the one that comes right before 2 Points to Murder, which we've read.
Oh, okay, fun.
So maybe it'll give us a little bit of insight into what goes on in that book, which is a lot of relationship drama with Ned, if I remember.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't sound like, I mean, Ned may not feature too heavily in this one, so it may not at all, but we're going to find out next time on Regular Nancy Drew.
So join us then.
Yes, we'll see you then, Regular Drews.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Regular Nancy Drew. Email us at regularnancydrew@gmail.com.
If you like this episode, make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
You can also follow us on Instagram at @regularnancydrew and Twitter at @regularnd.
You can also support us on Patreon. Patrons at the $3 level vote on upcoming episode topics and get exclusive access to our Scoop Sesh series.
And all patrons receive early access to each episode as well as weekly bonus content.
And to all you regular Drews out there, thanks for listening.